Here we start here at the top of Mem Terem and Aleph. On the first line, the Gemara says, Tani Rabba Barachana Kamei Derav. Here's this statement. Kivsei Atzeret, Shishachtan Neshum Elim. Kivsei Atzeret, which instead of calling them Kvasim, he calls them Elim, Ksherim. They're fine, they're good as a korban. Velo Alu LeBalim Neshum Chuba. But on the other hand, they don't help out in terms of the Balim here being the Bnei Yisrael, the Tzibur. So they don't take care of discharging the obligation. Amar le Rav. Rav says back to Rabbi Barachuna, Alu ve Alu. They're fine. They're totally fine. You need to bring Kivsei Atzeret. You brought Kivsei Atzeret. You called them Elim? Okay. No problem. But they were Kivsei Atzeret. They did what you were supposed to. And therefore, Alu de Chova. They took care of what the Tzibur needed to do. So Amar of Chistam, Mistavra Milte de Rav. Rav's statement here that they work and everything is fine is because savur elim vishachtan l'shum kvasim. He thought that they were actually elim here, and he went ahead and he said they were kvasim, and he shechted them as if they were kvasim. Shari kvasim l'shum kvasim nishchatu. In the end, everything worked out. They really were kvasim. He was doing the shechita l'shem kvasim. He just thought they were elim. So that's fine. That makes sense. That Ravan, everything would be fine and you would be discharged as obligation. Aval kesavur elim shachtan l'shum elim. If he thinks they're elim and he shechs them l'shum elim, lo, then it will not work. So even though it is kvasim, but because he thinks they're elim and he does them like elim, it won't work. So Gemara says, Akira b'taut havya akira. If you remove what the korban is supposed to be, even though it was unintentional, that removal of the shame is enough to ruin the korban that you're bringing. So even here, where he has kvasim, but he thinks they're elim, and he says they're elim, then even though he brought kvasim, which is what he was supposed to bring, since he was okir the shame kvasim with them and called them elim, they're no good, and they're not ola the chuvah. Again, they're kosher korban, but not ola the chuvah. As opposed to the first instance, or the first case, where he brought kvasim, he thought they were elim, but he does it as if they were kvasim. In the end there, he ended up in the right place, even by accident. But there he wasn't okir the shame, because he did it the shame kvasim, and they were kvasim. So in that instance, it'll work. But Rabba Amar, on the other hand, comes to Rabba Amar, Kira Bataut, Lo Havi Akira, that when you do an Akira by mistake, that is not considered an Akira. And therefore over here, like you were suggesting, David, okay, so he brought kvasim, he says they're elim, but they are kvasim. So if he made a mistake, he mistakenly changes over the name to something else, we're not going to worry about it. He has kvasim here, he did the right thing. The fact that he called them elim is inam alev, inam uri, doesn't change the situation. Amar rabu matvinan ashmaitin. So we have a question on this position. Akoanim shepiglu b'migdash. Kohanim, they went ahead and made things pigul in the Mikdash, mizidim, if they do it on purpose, chayavim, then they are responsible for the loss that they are goreim, the balim, to the owners. Ha! What we can infer from that is shogigim. They did it by accident, even though maybe they should have been a little bit careful, pturim, then they are patur. Vetani ala, pigulan pigul. And on that, we said that their pigul is effective. So when we're talking about a case of mezid, of course their pigul is effective because that's what they intended for. That's what they wanted to happen, and therefore the pigul is effective, but they're also chayav and responsible for it. On the other hand, when it comes to shogeg, that is an akira b'taut, because they didn't want to make it pigul, they accidentally made it into pigul. Nevertheless, we say, number one, it works, it's effective, it is pigul, but they're just not responsible. They don't have to pay for it because they were shogeg. So, echidami, what's the case here? Elim adiyadiyah dechatati. If he knows that it's a chatat that he's supposed to be bringing for the balim, v'kam echashi b'adashum shlamim, and instead he thinks to eat it in the zman of a shlamim. A chatat is yom v'layla. Shlamim is shnei yamim v'layla echad. So instead of saying that he's going to eat it within the zman of the chatat, he says, I'm going to eat it within the zman of the shlamim. Hai shogegin? How can you call that a shogeg? Mizidin abu. He knew what the problem was. He knew it was a chatat. He made it into a shlamim. El alav, the savur shlamim hu. He thinks it's a shlamim. V'kam achashi b'adushum shlamim. And he has a machshava about shlamim. V'ktani pigulam pigul. And you see that their pigul is a good pigul. Ama akira b'taut avi akira. So here you have a really, it's a chatat. He thinks it's a shlamim. He has a machshova as if it's a shlamim. So that machshova is going to make it into a pigul because he says, I'm planning on eating it for 2 days. I'm going to eat it 2 days from now. That's fine by a shlamim. That's no good by a chatat. And over here where he thought it was a shlamim, so it's clear that his akira is betot. He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't intentionally move the zman. He just thought he had a shlamim on his hands. So he thought like a shlamim, and we're saying that his pigul works. His machshova works. So you see here that akira betot is a good akira. So that's a question on Rabba's position. Before we had Rav Chisda explaining Rabba's position, he says that akira b'taot is an akira. Rabba came along and said it's not an akira, and that we challenged with this breita that we have here, which is that the kohanim, that pigulam b'migdash mizidin chayavin, the implications are that by shogigim they're patur, but their pigul is effective. Their pigul is effective. That means even when they did it by mistake, their pigul is effective. That means their akira b'taut is a good akira. Amar says, no. Amar le'abaye, the olam, the yoda, the chatati. He knows that it's a chatat. Become a chashiv al shum shlamim. And he's thinking about it being a shlamim. That sounds like a mezid. What's the case? Va'omer mutar. He thought it was okay. He thought it was okay to switch between karbanot. He thought it was okay. He tells himself that it's mutar to do it. So it's not a mezid case because he didn't intentionally switch it from a chatat to a shlamim with full knowledge that there's a problem here. Yes, he has intent. Yes, he has kavana, but he doesn't know that it's problematic. Bomer mutar, and therefore that's why he's classified as a shogeg over here. And there we don't have any proof about akira b'taut, because over here it's not an akira b'taut. It's an akira. It's a real akira. He knows he's being okeret, but he thought it was okay to be okeret. And therefore it's not going to be a question on Rabba's position. Meitiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Shimon Omer, this flashback to the beginning of our Masechta, where we had Rabbi Shimon state that kol menachot shenikmitzu shelo lishman ksherot. Any mincha that you take the kmitza off, shelo lishman, meaning you do it for another type of mincha, ksherot. All of those minachot are ksherot, v'alu lebalim l'shum chuva, and they discharge the obligation. Sheina minachot, domot l'zvachim, because minachot are not like zvachim, shakometz. Machavat l'shum marcheshet. If you take a korban minchat machavat, which comes in a shallow pan, it's fried, it makes it into a hard mincha, versus a marcheshet, which is a deep pan full of oil, makes it into something that is oily, shaky. So if you're komitz the machavat to shum marcheshet, you think it's a marcheshet, maseh bochin aleshi machavat. What's the question here? We know exactly what it is, because we know what pot you brought it in. We know what the mincha looks like. So then if you call it a marcheshet, we know that it is a machavat. You can't change the fact that what's in front of us. Chareva, dry mincha, which is a minchat choteh, doesn't have shemen and levona in it. L'shum blula. And you say, no, I'm bringing it l'shum blula. But there's no shemen. How can you call it blula if there's no shemen here? Maseh mochinala, shi chareva. Again, it's clear that this is a dry mincha. Above a zvachim, and okay, when you come to a zevach, we don't know that. Shchita achat lukulan, kabla achat lukulan, zirka achat lukulan. They all have the same action on the behema. So therefore, your machshava has impact because we can't prove. If you have a machshava shlamim, machshava chatat, they both come from a nekeva. They both could be a kizba. How do you know if it's a shlamim? How do you know if it's a chatat? There's no way to be proof from the actions that you took on the behema, which of the two korbanot it is. That's not true by the mincha. The mincha is obvious which mincha it is. So echi dami, what's this case of Rabbi Shimon? He knows he has a machavati here, and he intentionally calls it a marcheshet. So why does that help you, that maaseh mochin aleh? He has a machshava that is trying to override his ma'asim. He knows, he can see, he knows it's a machavat, he knows what he has in front of him, and yet he still intentionally says it's a macheshet. Hami akir ka'akirla. He's taking off the name and calling it something else. Elalav must be the kasuver macheshet. He thought it was a macheshet. He brings a machavat, brings a shallow panned mincha, and he thinks it's a deep panned mincha, but kakamitz l'lishu macheshet. And he takes off the comb as if it's a marcheshet. Vita'a. And he was mistaken. Because over here, it's clear that it is a shallow panned mincha. Because that's what we have in front of us. But that's true by the mincha, because we can tell. We can look at the evidence in front of us and we can tell exactly what's going on here. But in general, had it not been a case where maaseh mochinala, akira b'taut, abi akira. The only thing that prevents this from changing the name or being an akira here is the fact that Maaseh Mochrin Aleh. Without Maaseh Mochrin Aleh, we would say the Akira is a valid Akira. So again, Abaye comes back and solves the problem. He says, "Amalei Abaye, no, the Olam Diyada the Machavati." It's a case where he knows it's a Machavat. And nevertheless, he says, "I'm doing it for a Macheshit." But Tamar, you asked before, "Ki Maaseh Mochrin Aleh, my Havi." What do you mean? What does that mean, Maaseh Mochrin Aleh? If you have Machshava to undermine the Maasim, then your Machshava wins. That's what happens. You said you intended for something else to be there. So Gemara says, Rabba l'tamen. And we saw this again early in the Mezechta, Damar Rabba, Machshava d'lo minkara pasal rachmano. When does the Torah say there's a psul Machshava? That's when your Machshava cannot be determined by your actions. When your actions are ambiguous, and your Machshava then will govern, then your Machshava is posel. But in the case of Machshava d'lo minkara pasal rachmano, in a case where your Machshava has no bearing because your actions are so clear. Over there we say that the Torah says Machshava doesn't matter. It's not relevant, your Machshava over there. And the Torah is not Machshiv, that's Machshava, doesn't give value to that Machshava, and it's not Posel, the Korban. So again, we saw that earlier in the Masechta. If you remember, there was a three-way Machloket about how to explain the position of Rabbi Shimon to reconcile Rabbi Shimon's position. And Rava, in reconciling Rabbi Shimon's position, gave this statement. And this is what the Gemara is bringing over here, the statement that Machshava d'lo minkara pasal rachmana, that it's only when there's an ambiguous action does your Machshava bearing in terms of being posel or korban. But if your actions are clear, your Machshava has no bearing on the psul here, it will not matter. So that's the case here, it won't matter. So again, if we go through all of this, we have now a question that was raised in terms of a akira b'taut. Someone removes or tries to change the korban by mistake. Does that have bearing on the korban? Does that matter or not? Rav suggested yes, that it does matter in names of Rav Chisda, and Rabba said no, that it doesn't matter. Akira b'taut, lo avi akira, makes no difference because it was a mistake. If it's a mistake, we're not going to have you change the name over. We brought two questions on that position of Rabba. One from the Kohanim that were mefagel, which said that by shogeg, it sounds like the Kohanim can make something pigol even though they do it by accident. And that sounds like a case of Akira. Our answer in the end was it wasn't a case of Akira, it was a case of Omer Mutar. If it's Omer Mutar, then it's not Akira B'Tawut, it's Akira B'Mezid. We know that you're doing the Akira. The second question we brought from Rabbi Shimon's position, which was Maaseh Mochrin Aleh, we said there that only because of Maaseh Mochrin Aleh does it protect you. But without Maaseh Mochrin Aleh, we would say that the Akira is a valid Akira. Along comes Abai and says, no, this is Rabba, the Shittatei, Rabba that says that when it comes to a Machshava that has a Maasim that govern or tell us exactly what you did, your Machshava is as if it didn't happen. And therefore, again, you don't have a case of Akira B'Taut over here. Neither of these cases will then present the problem for Rabba's position. And Rabba will continue to believe that Akira B'Taut lo havi Akira. That's not classified as an Akira. All right, new Mishnah. Hatmidim in makvim et musafim, velo musafim makvim et dimidim. The tmidim and the musafim are independent, they're not makiv one another. Velo musafim makvim zedzeh, and the musafim themselves are not makiv one another. Lo yikrivu keves bavoker, they didn't bring the tamid shel shachar, yakrivu ben arbayim. You bring the one at ben arbayim, you bring the tamid shel ben arbayim. Even though you didn't do the tamid shel shachar, you do the tamid shel ben arbayim. Amar Rav Shimon, matai, bizman sheyu anusim o shogegim. Only if there was some sort of mistake, some sort of error that caused the problem in the morning. They were intentionally, didn't bring the keves b'boker, then you can't bring the afternoon. You can't bring tamid shel b'mayim with the tamid shel shachar. There wasn't an accident. They didn't bring the ktoret in the morning, which is half the ktoret brought in the morning, half is brought ben arbayim. They didn't bring the morning ktoret, yiktiru ben arbayim. You bring in the afternoon one, even though you didn't bring the morning one. Rav Shimon, v'kulay takreva ben arbayim. Shimon says, when you bring in the afternoon, you don't bring half, you bring the whole. You bring what should have been brought in the morning, plus what should have been brought in the afternoon. Shema chanchinet the mizbeach hazav elu b'ktoret hasamim. You can only be mechanech the mizbeach hazav, you can only put into service with ktoret hasamim. What this statement does has to do with the statement before. Where did, how did it enter the Mishnah? The Gemara will discuss. Velo mizbeach haola elu b'tamid shel shachar. You're only mechanech the mizbeach haola and put into service with the tamid shel shachar. Velo ta shulchan avalecha b'panim b'shabbat. And you also only put in the shulchan into service by placing the lecha b'panim on Shabbat. Velo ta menorah elu b'shiva neirotera ben arbayim. The lighting or the kindling of the menorah in the afternoon. afternoon, that's how you put it into service. So again, how that connects to the first part and how Rabbi Shimon transferred or shifted what he was speaking about, that the Gemara will deal with. We're going to deal with the first half of the Mishnah today, which is a very interesting question. Tzibur doesn't have enough to bring the Tamid and the Musaf. Which one comes first? One wants to know what's the question here. They don't have enough money, they don't have enough behemoth, whatever the reason is. Because you have the kvasim that are brought as the tamicho tacharim and tamicho rabbayim, and within the musafim you also have shiva kvasim. So we're talking about here, even within the same karbonot, they don't have enough kvasim. They have limited number of kvasim, and they want to know, should I bring the tamid, should I bring the musaf? Marwan said, what's the case? If we're talking about Yom Kadosh or Shabbos, Yom Tov, talking about that, and you're determining whether you should bring the tamid or the musaf, here the Gemara says, pshita, the tamidim adife. Clear that the tamidim go first, because they have everything. Because they have davalu tadir, umikudash. They have both tadir. Tadir is clear that they come, they're more frequent than the musafim. The tamid is brought every day. The musafim are only brought on those special occasions, whether it's once a week for Shabbos or on Yom Tov, whenever the regalim fall out or any Yom Tov falls out. So there, tamid wins. Mikudash, it's not clear what it means that they are yoter mikudash. Rashi brings two possibilities of what it means yoter mikudash. The first possibility is, well, today is Yom Tov. And since today is Yom Tov, there is a kedushat hayom. And as we said, B'gemara in Zvachim, if you remember, that just like the Yom Tov is mashpi on the Musafim, it's also mashpi on the Tamid. So whatever Kedusha is added by the fact that the Musafim are brought, is also added to Tamid of that day. So Tamid has both aspects. It's both Tadir, and it's Mikudash, because it's brought on that Yom Kadosh, and therefore it has the properties of a Tamid on a Yom Kadosh. That's one possibility of reading.
It's not brought because of the Yom Kadosh. Actually, the Saf is the Yom Kadosh, because it's brought especially because of the...
Right, so the Gemara in Zvachim, when the Gemara spoke about this, the Gemara in Taftadi in Zvachim, the Gemara there said, the Kedusha is mashpi on the Musafim, is not mashpi on the Tamid. And the Gemara said, no, the Tamid has that same Kedusha is added to the Tamid over there. So despite what you're saying, which seems to make a lot of sense, that the Musafim are added because of the Kedusha Tayom, and therefore they should be more Kadosh, the Gemara there said that they're both, since they're both on that day, they both absorb the Kedusha Tayom. So that's one way to read it. Other way to read it is, Mikudash means that it comes prior. Kedusha doesn't mean it's more holy because it's always brought first. So the Tamid comes before the Musaf. You bring the Tamid Shel Shachar before you bring the Musafim, therefore it's Tadir, more frequent, and Mikudash, because it's brought first. So there are two ways to read it. Possibly, but we're going to see, no, the Gemara has a limud why the Tamid Shel Shachar goes first, maybe not because it's Tadir. Tosas asks, Tosas brings both the Pshat and Rashi, and then Tosas just points out that what about the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim? If the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, in that instance, the Musafim would precede the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So what do you do? There you have Tadir, but the Mikudash, based on the reasoning that one comes before the other, right, Mikudash would be Musafim there. So why isn't the Gemara? The Gemara doesn't ask that. The Gemara is going to jump over that and ignores the Tamid Shel Arbayim. From that, Tosfos says that the reason the Tamid Shel Arbayim is classified as Mikudash is because it's tied to the Tamid Shel Shachar. Correct.
But don't we have a special limud for Tamid Shel Arbayim that has to be after everything?
That's a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfot about how to read the limud over here. It's not actually here in other places. Tosfos discusses a little bit here what the limud is. And we'll see that. There is a limud. The question is, what's the limud is? Is the limud that everything must be placed on the Tamid Shel Shachar? There's no limud that the Tamid Shel Ben has to be after everything. It just means that everything has to be done with the Tamid Shel Shachar. That's one possibility of learning the limud. Or the other limud is like what you were suggesting, which is that the limud is everything has to be done before the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So that's the two ways to make the limud. The more likely, or the one that is favored, is that Aleha Shleim Kol Gunot Kulam, is that everything has to be finished on the Tamid Shel Shachar. So it's not that the Tamid Shel Arbayim has to be after everything, it means that everything has to be placed with the Tamid Shel Shachar. Alright, so in that case, Tosfos says that since the Tamid Shel Arbayim is connected to the Tamid Shel Shachar, that gives it that status of Kadosh, and even though it would come after the Musafim, it would still have that status of being Tadir VeKadosh and precede the Musafim. Those two reasons. Now the Gemara moves on, so that can't be the case here. So now Gemara says, okay, but it's a pshita, it's a midim adivit, I will look at your mekdash. Ella, tamidim de la machar, umusafim de idna. Talking about tomorrow's tamidim, with today's musafim. So tomorrow's tamidim don't have the kedushat ayom, because tomorrow's not Shabbos, tomorrow's not Yom Tov. So don't have that side of kedusha. If you learn the second reason, Rashi, they don't come first. Because today's musafim are prior to tomorrow's tamid. So then, they're also not kadosh. So here, tamidim adifli, tamidim have the benefit of being tadir. They're mikudash either because they're on the Yom Kadosh or they're mikudash because they will precede the tamid of the next day. It's our Mishnah. התמידים הם מעקבים את המוספים, ולא מוספים את מעקבים את התמידים. Our Mishnah says that the מוספים ותמידים are not מעקב one another. ולא מוספים מעקבים זה את זה, and מוספים don't affect each other. Hey, dummy, what's the case here? Ilay madilay, that they have enough animals, ulekadem, and all our Mishnah is speaking about is which goes first. That's good, that's the question. Vatanya, we have this straightforward, which is the what you were just asking for, Tzvi. Minayin shlo yedavar kodem l'tamid shel shachar. How do I know that nothing should come before the tamid shel shachar? Tamar le'omar barecha aleha ha'ola. Marava ha'ola, ola rishona. What's the ha'ola? Ha'ola means the first ola that was there. Ha'ola is the ola rishona. It's got to be the first thing there in the morning. So ha'ola tells you, the hey ayidiyah, the hey ayidiyah teaches you that the ola, or the tamid shel shachar, has got to be the first. It's the miyuchad, it's the first, it's the best, it's got to go first every day. So if you're talking about precedence, talking about who goes first, that we don't have any question about, because we have a limud from the Pasuk, that is Ola Ola Rishona. Again, the additional limud, which the Gemara doesn't bring over here, which is it's also Barakha Leha Ola, Aleha Lashlem Kol Karbanot Kulam. All the other Karbanot have to be brought on top of the Hamid. Tosfos over here, it's a very large Tosfos, asks, doesn't the Pasuk say it explicitly? It says, Milvad Ola Taboker, Asher Ola Tatamid. Every time you have a Musaf, you have a Balkori here, every time you have a musaf, it says milvad ola tatamid. So the Gemara there darshans every time milvad means that the ola tatamid already came. That milvad teaches you first. Those here discusses why do I need multiple limudim to teach me that the ola is first? And that's this very large Tosis discuss. It's not relevant to what we're doing right now. Ella pshita delately must be a case where they don't have enough. They don't have enough kvasim. Vidiyome, if we're talking about the same day, everything's on Shabbos. Then I might. Right, what's the question? Tadir makudash tadir adif. Right, you have the Tadir Magdash, the Tadir goes first.
Okay, I can understand that if you have in the morning, so you first have to bring the Korban Ola.
Right.
But then now I have a question. Now, should I bring Korban Musa, or should I leave it for the afternoon?
So that's what Tosu said before, that the Gemara doesn't see that as a question. The Gemara believes, that's what I said before, Tosu believes that Tamid Shel Rabbayim is connected to the Tamid Shel Shachar, and it gets the same din.
It's obvious that I would leave it for Ben Arbayim.
Correct, correct. That's what Tosu said before. Elav Dilamachar. Must be that we're talking about tomorrow's issues. Viktani. Imak vin zeze. That they're not ma'akev one another. So, alma ki adodin inu. You get to choose. It's not ma'akev. You have a choice between tamid and musafim. And the Gemara says, imak vin, make your choice. You can do the musafim today, or you can do the tamid tomorrow, whatever you want. Samalei abaye. No. Dolam diidle. No, it's a case here, diidlehu. They have a case where they have all the karmanot. Here, the kadim. It's a question of precedence. Which goes first? You said before that we have a posuk that teaches you that nothing goes before the karban tamid shel shachar. Mitzvah ba'amahu. That posuk teaches you l'chatchilo what you should do. It's not ma'akev. Doesn't teach you ikuf. Teaches you l'chatchilo. So the chatchilo you should do the tamid shel shachar first. But what happens if he doesn't do it first? The pasuk comes to teach me l'chatchilo, and along comes our mission to tell you that ain't ma'akev, that if you do it, nidiyevet, that you're fine, that it's not an issue. Tashma. Ain't pochtim mishishat tlayim avukarim b'lishlat tlayim. You can't have less than 6 tlayim that are checked inside the shkata tlayim in order to be ready. K'day l'shabbat l'shnei yomim tilbim shal Rosh Hashanah. Enough to have korbanot for Shabbat, and then 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Either 2 days of Rosh Hashanah before, and then Shabbat, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, or Shabbat, Sunday, Monday. Either way, it doesn't really matter. You have 3 days in a row. We want you to have enough korbanot tamid. So you have 2 for each day, and you're fine. So now what do you see? Hey, chidame, what's the case here? Ilei midilei tamidim musafim tuva avul. If you think they have enough for tamidim musafim, then there should be many more in there. There should be at least, as Rashi points out, there should be at least 16 in there, because you have the tamid, you have the tamid of each day, which is the 6 that you have there, plus you have 2 kvasim that are brought as musaf for Shabbos, and then you have 7 for each day of Rosh Hashanah, shiva kvasim that come for each day of Rosh Hashanah. So that's an additional 16 that should have been in there if you're really counting everything. Elalav, delaytle, must be that they don't have sufficient kvasim. Because all it says over here is they have 6 being the tamid for each day. Well, 6 for the tamid for each day means they're ignoring the musafim totally. No, the case that they have must be kvasim for everything. It's teaching us the din of dalid yomim kodem shchita. The rule is that you have to have 4 days in advance, you got to have enough karban tamid. From the time that you do the karban tamid, you need another 3 sets in front of you, so that from the if you take the ones out today and replace them, you'll have another 3 days worth, which is 4 days in advance. Umani ben bagbagi, detanya ben bagbagi, mer minan tamid shetaon bikur dal yamim kodem shchita. How do I know that you need to have it 4 days in advance? Talmud Lomar, just finished Pesach, Tishmeru l'akriv li b'mo'ado, which is written by the Korban Tamid, l'halan omer, and it says by the Korban at Pesach, Pesach Mitzrayim, v'yu l'chel l'mishmeret ad arbasa yom. And in the Pesach it says you should bring the Korban on the 14th day, but you have to do mekcho b'asor. They took it in Mitzrayim, they took it on the 10th. So that tells you you need 4 days in advance of Bikur. Mala halon tukun Bikur arba yamim. You need 4 days in advance. Kodem shchita afkanta un Bikur arba yamim kodem shchita. So it's a din in the Tamid, because it's a specific limud about the Tamid, that you need it 4 days in advance. And that's what we're talking about over here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us something about the din of 4 days in advance. It's not teaching us anything about when they don't have any precedence over here. So I'm really Ravina the Ravashi. Haina Shiva. Is that really true? You need six? Shiva Avu. You need seven. Daika de Tzafro. You need the morning after. So the morning after, where the Rashi is, Rashi has a girsa of Chad Bishabto, and our Gemara has a girsa of Talat Bishabto. It doesn't really matter. Again, it depends when Rosh Hashanah fell out. If it was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, then we're talking about Sunday morning. If it was Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, then we're talking about Tuesday morning. Because at night, they can't go out and find a Tle that was checked. So they're going to need seven in advance, because they need at least the six to cover Shabbos and Yom Tov, plus one for the next morning afterwards. After that, they can go and look around. They can find somebody who has one that was checked for 4 days, and they can get it for the Tamid Shevet Arba'im. But for the next morning, after Motzei Yom Tov or Motzei Shabbos, you can't go around and find a Tle Mivukar. So the Tameich, Tam Yavo. That's the case. You need eight in there. Diga de Panya de Male Shabto. You need the one from Erev Shabbos. I mean, again, if Rosh Hashanah was Sunday, Monday, then Erev Shabbos, the Tamid Shevet Arba'im, you'll need to be ready. So you'll need eight. You'll need the one for Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos. You'll need the six for Shabbos, 2 days Yom Tov, plus next morning on the Motzei Yom Tov. So you'll need these. So what says Havel Kasha? The Botu Akiv Kamar. Tell me, after they brought Tamid Shevet Arba'im, how many are in the Lishka? So how many are Lishka after they brought the Tamid Shevet Arba'im? There should have been seven there, but here it says six. Mekom Makom Shiva Avu. So I mean, at least you still have to have seven. Ela Tana Ba'al Makoi. The Tana is talking about any day. It's not talking about a day where you have Shabbos, Yom Tov. It's not talking about a regular scenario. Umay Kedei L'Shabbat U'Bet Yomim Tefem Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean that you need enough for Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah? Simona Ba'almo. It's a simono that how many do you need in there? You need six to cover 3 days. You can only have one 3 day yantif, that is Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is always 2 days, almost always 2 days. So therefore, that's a simon that how many tlaim do you need to have in the lishka? Six, like Shabbos and Yom Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah. Take an ami. I can prove that to you from Lashon Ketani. It says kedei l'shabbat. It says enough for Shabbos. It doesn't say l'shabbat v'yom tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah. It says kedei, enough to be for that. So that's the proof that it's the case. Rashi mentions over here, Velo Peir Shatama Davar. Gemara Nera explains why. Why do you need six in advance? So Rashi says, Linira, the Kabu Chachamim Minyan Kavula Davar. They put in a fixed number in here. Di Mitramin, if there's a case where they have it, Mishkache Tlaimim Bukrim Zedal Yomim. They will definitely have Tlaim for 4 days, meaning that we're checked in advance for 4 days, and you can roll. Over that 4 day period, you'll roll, and then you'll find some others. So basically, the way it works is that every day, you go in and you take out two, and you put in a new two that are checked. The ones that you put in today will be 4 days later. They will get brought as the korban, because not you have today, plus the other three sets. When they started the first day of the Mikdash, they had eight in there, four pairs of two. Then they were makriv one of them, so there are six remaining. That's what the Mishnah is talking about, that there are always six. And then you brought in a new pair. So that new pair would then have an additional 4 days where it was checked. And each time they would roll off one each day and put a new one in, so there was a constant roll of 4 day checked tlaim in the lishka. And then on the 4th day, each one will be brought. So you replace them, and that will keep a continuous flow of 4 days of bikur. And again, we have no answer to our question of tadir and mikudash, which goes first.